Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In the Pew Bible, it is titled Warnings and Encouragements. Meanwhile, when a crowd of thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that cannot be disclosed or hidden that cannot be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and when you have whispered in your ear, in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him for who, after killing of the body, has the power to throw it into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are you not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than the many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man, will be acknowledged him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogue rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, David. This morning we are resuming our walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke. And as the Lord traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem in chapters 9 through 19, he is spending this time building up his disciples. And as he is walking with them toward Jerusalem, toward what would be his death, Jesus begins to create a division, a decision in the disciples' minds. In chapter 12 of Luke, we see the beginnings of what will be a dividing line that delineates one from another. At some time, we are all forced to make choices. Some of us choose Dunkin' Donuts, others choose Starbucks. Some of us choose Burger King and others choose McDonald's. Some of us chose Michelle Wu and others chose Anissa Asabi George. There's choices to be made in life. As Robert Frost's poem said, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." You cannot take two roads. You have to choose. And that's what Jesus is starting to do in chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke. "There are two roads before you," he will tell his disciples, in not so many words. "The wide road of the world and the narrow path of the Spirit." Sometimes we think that dividing is wrong. We should always be united. But that's not always true. We should always choose right from wrong. We should always choose good from evil. We should always choose life over death. And so saying, "I'm wanting to do what's right," And that separates me from people who want to do wrong. There is nothing immoral about that. And so as we look at these verses from chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, the first thing we see is that Jesus tells his disciples to be aware of the danger of hypocrisy. And what Luke does here is he mentions the context. He says that there is a crowd, a myriad of a crowd, which is tens of thousands of people. There's a whole crush of people to the point where they are trampling one another. And Jesus, no doubt, sees the size of the crowd. No doubt sees his popularity. And he takes time to speak to the disciples before this crowd. It is an opportunity to address an ill of that society and an ill of this society. That we tend to be hypocritical to gain popularity. We tend to, as human beings, perform so that people will like us. And Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the hypocrites. I'm sorry, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. A Bible dictionary that I have says that hypocrisy is pretense to being what one really is not. It is pretending to be something you are not. It's playing a role. And he says, beware of this because it is like yeast. Well, if any of you have baked bread, you know that yeast permeates the dough. And you can't taste yeast. You can't do without yeast. You have to work it in. You have to make sure that it is in the entire batch. Either that or the bread won't rise. It is inseparable from all the other ingredients. But it is evident in a well-baked loaf. And that's what their hypocrisy is like. It is at one, in one aspect, indetectable. But in another aspect, it is undeniable. It is both nowhere and everywhere at the same time. It is how the Pharisees are operating. And he looks at this crowd of thousands of people and says, beware of playing for the crowd. Why? Because the truth of everything will be disclosed. You may pretend you are one thing when you're in a crowd and actually be something else. But the truth is that the truth will be disclosed. And he gives two examples here. There is nothing concealed that won't be disclosed, or hidden that won't be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you say privately, intimately, what you wouldn't want other people to know, will be spoken in broad daylight. What you whisper into the ears of others in the secret room will be shouted from the rooftops. Your hypocrisy or your honesty will be revealed. And what then? Will the crowds continue to follow you? It's unlikely. Will God abandon you? That is also unlikely. Jesus, secondly, tells his disciples to fear the one who knows our secrets. I tell you, my friends, verse 4 says, do not be afraid of the one who kills the body and after that can do no more. But I'll show you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Just after Jesus says, everything that you say is being heard and will be disclosed, there's an implication that that is by God. Jesus then says, don't be afraid of people who are fickle, who want you to amuse them and entertain them and perform for them and say the things you want to hear. Don't be afraid of them. What can they do to you? They can take your life, your physical life. But we all know that our lives are temporary. We all have an expiration date. And so, yes, a human being can shorten our lives, but that is just a mere inconvenience when taken into the realm of all eternity. We should not worry about and fear the approval, the respect, the reputation before those who can simply take our lives. We should worry about, we should be fearful, we should be respectful, we should care about the reputation we have before the one who not only will take our lives, but has the power to throw us into hell. The term here for hell is Gehenna, the valley of lamentations, the valley of moaning and mourning. And it was a valley just outside of Jerusalem in the Old Testament. It's the place where pagans offered human infant sacrifices. Just a terrible place. In the time of Jesus' day, it was a fiery landfill where people would take refuse from Jerusalem, the capital city, throw it into this valley, and let it burn. The capital city had so much garbage and refuse and junk that this fire seemed to burn all the time. And so as Jesus is speaking, he's talking about this literal place, but he's also talking about the figurative place of a place where there is unquenchable fire consuming evil through God's wrath. It's a tangible reminder of the judgment that comes to those who do not trust in God. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says this, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? That's Luke 9:25. And the point here is this. Why would you invest all that you have in the reputations we have before people, when that's not really what matters? Why would we forfeit ourselves to gain what the earth has to offer? We have to ask ourselves, who we're more concerned about pleasing? And ask ourselves, who is more concerned about us? Our fellow human beings, by and large, will harm those they see as useless. We will minimize, we will abuse, we will profit off of, and then we will discard those who don't suit our purposes. However, God cares for even the most insignificant of his creation. He cares for tiny birds sold 5 for 2 pennies. And yet, not a single one of them is forgotten by God. And then in the understatement of all scriptures, you are worth more than many birds. I don't like birds, but I like that verse. Because I would like to think that God cares even for those rotten flying rats. And yet, he cares so much more for me. Not all birds are flying rats, just pigeons. He knows the hairs, the number of the hairs on our head. How many of you know how many hairs are on the top of your head? I have less to count, but I still know that I don't know how many hairs are on my head. Never taken the time to count. But God knows. God knows our hearts. He knows our spiritual condition, and he lovingly cares for us. And Jesus is not done speaking here. He wants us to know one further thing about being honest to God and not hypocritical. Jesus tells his disciples, thirdly, that there is nothing to fear in honoring God. Acknowledging God allows for our acceptance. And here he uses a parallel group of statements. Verse 8. Whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. We are to characteristically, naturally, willfully submit to the Lord. This acknowledging has a sense of formal recognition. Sort of like in legal proceedings or governmental proceedings, the chair recognizes so-and-so. The chair acknowledges so-and-so. Meaning that they see the significance, the authority, the power. They are able to declare the truth of that individual. And that's why Jesus says, speaking a word, an incidental report against the Son of Man will be forgiven. God is not capricious, saying, well, you In a moment of weakness, you in a moment of foolishness, you in a moment of confusion, were hypocritical. And you pretended not to know me. You denied me. You uncharacteristically, but still nonetheless actually, spoke against me and my son. God says, that will be forgiven you. However, disowning God leads to abandonment. And again, there's parallel conversation here. Anyone who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. Anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. This refers to this disowning is characteristic, willful, natural rejection. Disowning. Severing. Giving away. Refusing to embrace a life denying him. And it is equated to blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is, I gotta admit, a problematic verse. There are books written on what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And this is what I think. You can take that for what it's worth, but this is what I think. I think there is a parallel here. Just like speaking a word will be forgiven, if you uncharacteristically do something, God will forgive that. But if your heart is intent on denying Christ, if your heart is intent on refusing to acknowledge the truth of the gospel, the work, the great work of the Holy Spirit, who God will give us so that we can be reminded of all that Jesus did and said. If we are unwilling to the point of disparaging one of the persons in the Godhead who gives us the ability to comprehend the gospel, that's unforgivable, God says. That's my take. As a matter of fact, Jesus then goes on to say, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Don't disparage the one who is giving you life through the word. Instead, trust that the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And then say it. That when you face persecution, when you face troubles, when you face challenges, when you are in the place where you are saying to yourself, should I perform for men or be faithful to God? The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. The Holy Spirit promises, and Jesus promises God's guidance. Our message will be God's message. And so people are not accepting us, but they are accepting God. People are not rejecting us, but they are rejecting God when we speak what Christ has promised and that the Holy Spirit instructs. Jesus said before the crushing crowd that God knows our hearts and he will guide our speech. This encourages all of us who follow him to have the attitude that hears What comes from our souls and whether or not we have an attitude that the Lord is directing us. Is our attitude one where God is in control? Or is our attitude that those around us are in control? Our sermon in a sentence is this. A disciple's witness is aware of God's knowledge and guidance. Be aware that we are tempted to be hypocrites. Be aware that all we do, even if it's done privately, all we say, even if it's said privately, will be made public. And be aware that the Holy Spirit will teach us what to say in every situation where we are persecuted or perplexed. In every situation that we will face. God loves us and God cares for us more than we can imagine. Let me just remind you of that again. Because sometimes we forget. You are worth more than many birds. You are. Sometimes we think, God doesn't know. God hears us. God cares for us. God forgives us. God instructs us. He knows us, forgives us, guides us. All he asks is that we acknowledge him. A disciple's witness is a